Coming up on The Green from Delaware Public Media, we launch our 2024 series of candidate conversations with interviews from the race for governor in the first state. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Our look at the gubernatorial campaign starts with the three GOP candidates in the race: State Representative Mike Ramone, Jerry Price, and Bobby Williamson. Those interviews are next on this edition of The Green, where Delawareans get tuned into a first state of mind. But first, the news from NPR. Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. As part of our 2024 election coverage, Delaware Public Media is offering a series of candidate conversations. We reached out to all candidates filed to run in the races for U.S. House and U.S. Senate, as well as governor, lieutenant governor, and insurance commissioner, and invited them to sit down with us. Candidates in each race are being asked about the same set of topics to allow you to get to know them and compare them. The interviews you'll hear here on The Green are edited for time. Full conversations are online at DelawarePublic.org. The race for governor features six candidates seeking to replace term-limited Democrat John Carney. Today, we focus on the three facing off in the GOP primary next month. We start with State Representative Mike Ramone. The House Minority Leader has served in the General Assembly since 2008 and is now making his first run for statewide office. Most governors have some signature initiative or legislation that they pursue. Ruth Ann Minner, the indoor smoking ban. Jack Markell, language immersion, career pathways. John Carney, the Wilmington Learning Collaborative, budget smoothing. What do you see as maybe being your signature items, things that you would walk into the office saying, like, if I only get one or two things accomplished, this is the one or two things I want to get done?
Delaware first. And basically that means we've got to lower taxes. The taxes that the seniors are paying to be able to move and then move to a senior home with the extra 1% of the transfer tax, the complexity of our seven brackets of personal income tax, the gross receipts temporary tax that's now about 30 years old that's hitting businesses even when they're closed down during COVID. They lose 2 months of income and have to go through chaos to get through the COVID. That's no one's fault. But then the state goes and still gets their gross receipts tax. You know, it just so many things have put us in a very precarious position, especially businesses. I think we were the only state in the nation that's GDP went negative. Only one. And we were obviously last. And that's not sustainable, especially when we keep increasing our budget by 10% a year. You know, this enormous quantity over the last, three, 4 years has been over $4 billion of what we're calling extraordinary income. But we're not using extraordinary income to offset extraordinary expenses like our state employees' underfunded retirement compensation fund. So those are the kind of things that I just want to bring to the table. I think it was Pete DuPont who went on when he went to run for governor. He said Delaware's bankrupt. I'm not going to say Delaware's bankrupt, but what I am going to say is we are in an unsustainable trajectory of 9 and 10% increases on a budget, and there's no more COVID money coming in that we can keep doing this stuff. I think COVID got us here. I think there needs to be a strong, fiscally responsible governor who's willing to get us back, and I'm doing that with no political aspirations. I've 63 years old. If I get to be the governor of this state, I will do the best I can every day I'm there. And as long as people want me there, I will be there. And when they're done with me, I'll get out of the way. But I'm not going to go and do things for political to get more votes that people like me. I'm just going to do what we have to do to make the state solvent.
You've talked a little bit here about the budget, so I want to delve into that a little bit more. One thing I think is pretty clear, if you look at what history tells us, is that the next governor, whoever that person is, will face at least one economic downturn during their time in office. We saw that the last three-plus governors. So I'm curious, if you're in that position where there's $300, $400, $500 million shortfall, what would your approach be to balancing the budget?
Fortunately, Tom, I was on the budget smoothing task force. Mm-hmm. And we had spent months developing something with then Treasurer Simpler and I believe it was Governor Markell at the time. Mm-hmm. And we just came up with a great solution to a balanced budget with no political thinking in it. Unfortunately, one of the senators kind of ended up making sure it did not come out of the Senate. And the byproduct of that was, quite frankly, Governor Carney, much to his credit, had to digest it as a
an
executive order from the governor's office, in which he then didn't digest the whole thing. He only digested some of it. So, you know, how to digest the extraordinary income? Do we give back tax refunds? I've been in office 16 years. The only tax reductions were those that we had previously taken away. So I was there in 08 when Governor Markell won. Mm-hmm. I went through that deficit. I was with State Rep Melanie George Smith when she was the chair of the finance, going through the next big deficit. We went through a line item of every single item, which gave us the trajectory we're on today. I would begin with that. I think it's very simplistic to me. Find the problems, define the solutions, bring the right people to the table to make sure the solutions have no unintended consequences, and have the guts to then digest them.
So we got a couple of places to go that you talked about. One will be education in just a moment, but previously you mentioned healthcare, so I want to go there next.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare costs and access becoming kind of stubborn issues in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Delaware has one of the highest costs of care in the nation, but still struggles to attract and retain providers and specialists. As you noted, it's playing out in the cost of coverage for state employees and retirees. It's also the issue of dealing with an aging population and their needs in the healthcare arena. Lawmakers like yourself did do some work on state retiree benefits this year, also created the Hospital Cost Review Board. Curious where you feel the state should be prioritizing addressing healthcare cost and access.
My first statement would be what I would not do. I'm not going to go to any business, nonprofit or profit, and tell them if they're, you know, what they should be charging and how they should be doing business. That's capitalism.
So you're against that board?
Oh, no, I'm against the entire thought of that. Because, okay, well, if we're going to do that, why aren't we doing that to our own state? What happens when we do that to the nonprofits like Easter Seals, Boys Clubs? Why? You know, this. Where does this stop? It's hospitals that we've done this to. So I think that is just horrible. I fought very hard against it. We were fortunate once again to be able to get some compromises. Not what we wanted, but it was better than where it started. I've also tell you that I'm not going to go raid our retirees and our state benefits packages when we promised those when these people were hired. People will bring up with some commercial companies do that. The state of Delaware has it in their contract for these people. You cannot welch on that. So you don't go to those places to solve the problem. What you do is you define the problem and then you find resolution that is global.
How can you work on the access side? How can you draw more providers, specialists, people who specialize perhaps in, as I mentioned, an aging population and their needs?
Mm-hmm. I think the simplest way is through capitalism. You know, you set up environments and you allow there to be more competition, not less. You create environments where you have the technology and the information coming in here. Well, I'm one of the biggest proponents of why are we doing a sister hospital school? Why don't we create a medical school in the state of Delaware through one of the best universities that we're sitting at is Delaware State University or University of Delaware. Either of those could digest, even if they partnershiped and digest different segments of the medical field. If you start educating people in your own state in the areas that the state has the highest needs, whether it's doctors, whatever in the health field, guess what? You're going to have a higher number of people coming in to go to those medical schools and then maybe stay in the state. And a lot of the people who actually then stay are Delaware residents their whole life, like I was, might go to that school in the state and then be able to stay in the state and work there. Now they go to other states for the school. Often they never come back to Delaware. That's easy to change. Just focus on solutions, not Band-Aids on problems.
You mentioned education earlier, so mm-hmm. Let's go to that. Specifically, education funding, which has been a very significant issue recently. The lawsuit over education funding equity led to a report that was released last fall that recommended the state spend an additional $600 million to $1.1 billion per year on education. You and your fellow lawmakers did create a public education funding commission to look at that issue in the coming months. But I'm interested where you stand on education funding, starting with the current level of spending. Right, wrong, more or less, stay the same?
We're one of the highest in the nation. There's, what, are we third, fourth in spending? And we're like, what, third or fourth from the bottom in results. Spending doesn't actually affect results. Results are affected by very smart, concise environments that are set up to guarantee success. We set up environments that more guarantee failure. We see it with our children. We have schools currently in some of our cities that the performance levels is 3-4% of the children are at reading levels and so forth. You know, the inner city youth, the socioeconomic challenge families, often single family or single parent families, where they can't put their child in a choice school or go somewhere else, they're forced to use a school that's failing. Do we have some great schools? Yes, we do. So what do? We actually have waiting lists for them because they're not big enough. My vision in business, if it works, make it gently, very planned growth patterns that you can then keep taking more and more and more, right? And if it doesn't work, close it. The biggest problem in education today is the way we do funding. We are the most complicated funding mechanism in the nation. And even when I had meetings with all those people in the financial services, in the financial divisions of every single school district up in Newcastle, the people who run the finances could not explain to me how the funding came in.
So I wanted to get that because that's one of the things that's been talked about a lot is changing the unit count system or modifying the unit count system. How do you see, does it have to completely go? A lot of other states use weighted funding to make sure the money gets to where it's supposed to go. What do you support?
I would tie funding with autonomy, and I would do it at the school level. I would give a principal the ability to have the funding and this and the support to be able to run his school in a successful way.
A couple more issues I want to hit on. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about affordable housing. That has become an increasingly important issue throughout the state. It's complex, obviously. So what I'm asking you is, where do you think the state can be most effective in addressing it? Where should the state focus its efforts to have maybe the most impact quickly?
Most impact quickly is get out of the way. You shouldn't be taking 2 years for me to be able to open a business on a new property. You shouldn't be in an environment where your states and your cities and your municipalities don't know what everybody's doing, and people got to go to 3 or 4 different places to fill out the applications to be able to know where they're supposed to be, how they can do it. That needs to be focused on the fastest way that we can get out of the way of businesses being able to come to Delaware, grow, and be responsible in that growth to help Delaware facilitate more jobs, more people, more housing. And quite honestly, if we let them do the housing much quicker, I mean, we're starting to put these new sprinkler regulations and this. We have so many regulations on a poor home builder. And what are they going to do? They're not going to absorb it. They're going to pass it on. So the more we regulate and the more houses go up, and then everybody who just did all those regulations and passed all those bills go and say, but we don't have any affordable housing. No kidding. You have density restrictions. You don't have any smart growth going on in our state anymore. We don't have anything that digests a plan of growth to handle the areas that need handling. And I would start it with some sort of a small village concept that they do in many other states, little tiny starter houses, little tiny lots, dense, but effective, good workforce, good area, and they can get to an area that they could never get to unless we do something like this.
Let's talk a little bit about climate. The state has recently taken some steps to address climate change. Climate Change Solutions Act calling for the state to make zero net additions of greenhouse gases to the atmosphere by 2050. Delaware Advanced Clean Cars 2 program, what many call an EV mandate, calling for 82% of new cars, trucks sent to Delaware for sale to be zero emission by 2032. And the state has made some initial steps toward procuring offshore wind energy. We'll start with the basic question, which is, do you support any of those efforts?
No. And I would suggest it this way. Once again, energy, green energy, needs to be a series of efforts, not one effort. Let me give you the perfect
example. Well, that is kind of a series of efforts, though.
Well, let me make it a little different then.
Okay.
So rather than saying your car has to be 100% electric, I have 3 Toyota hybrids. I get 50 miles to the gallon. My other car used to get 20. Now, those hybrids don't plug in. It's gas generates, so I don't have to put charging stations all over the state. You say it's progressive growth. I would say it's actually non-green friendly, because after we put all these charging stations up and we spend the money to have them installed, have them made, put them in, have to keep them running, have to worry about something when it gets cold because we know they don't charge anymore, worry about having enough of them, by the time we get all that done, 5-10 years, guess what? we're going to have new technology in those cars. We're not going to need – those charging stations are going to be hangers for your clothes, just like your elliptical bicycles or treadmills, right? So we need to be smart. And smart means let's take a step. When I first got elected, within the first few years, Colin O'Mara, he's running as a governor also, was in the initiative with the state of Delaware, very much pushing for the California Clean Air Car Act 1. Mm-hmm. We digested that. And everybody says, oh, it brought us our EPA ratings below all the numbers and so forth. It helped. But General Motors and Chrysler and DuPont all closing as manufacturing meccas in our state probably helped a lot more. Then we say, oh, now we got to go to Clean Car Act 2. And why? Because the place up in Booth Wynn, Pennsylvania is still not under the EPA ratings. But you know what they do in Pennsylvania, very close to Booth Wynn? They mine coal. So I would suggest it's that clean because the air from Delaware is blowing that way and it kind of mixes with theirs and makes it better. Point being simple, air moves. When I keep saying to you about using the advantage of our small state and our geographic location, air moves. That's got to be something that the federal government works on in a way that is proactive and creative and not reactive and trying to do mandates on whose car what can build or they can put in.
I do want to move on to something you talked about in terms of political atmosphere. But before I do that, I do want to just ask one real quick. Are there any climate-related initiatives you would favor to address potential issues Delaware could face as a low-lying state and sea level rise and things like that in the future?
Well, we just have an enormously successful bid process that we won for hydrogen. How can you get any cleaner than hydrogen? The hydrogen plant that's going to be here, hydrogen cars, hydrogen. There's so many things we can do with that. I am not against nuclear power. I mean, we've got one of the biggest nuclear plants right next to us, and we get no benefit from it. Talking about, you know, taking advantage of our geographic size our geographic location and size. I'm not sure we put something like they got in Jersey, but I know now they have all these mini nuclear environments that are almost, you know, this big thought, oh, nuclear energy is going to destroy the world. There is a way to do it now, and even the waste from it is usable, reusable. So, you know, we need to blend. We need to blend responsible energy for cars. We need to blend an initiative of hydrogen energy that would be sensitive. I believe it's us and Pennsylvania and maybe Jersey in a little link together. We need to look at the ability to keep the port or use a location where we can bring in clean energy. But I would strongly suggest we are one of the highest energy cost states in the nation, and especially on our East Coast. We need to address why we're so high, and Jersey's one of the lowest. And I'll say this, I'd rather us pumping oil and facilitating use of any kind of fuels because in our country, we do it responsibly and very clean. So what we're doing is we're doing it the cleanest way possible, and our air goes over to the area across the ocean, and then their toxic way of pumping anything they can because we have them, we're not energy independent anymore, that toxic stuff comes out and hits us in California, which is why they had their Clean Air Act initiative. So it's just a different way of solving problems.
You mentioned the toxic nature of politics these days, and, mm-hmm. and there does seem to be a stronger distrust of government, and that has led to calls for more transparency and accountability. What role do you feel the governor's office and you personally can play in giving Delawareans greater transparency and accountability from government?
I believe there's nothing more important than your reputation and your ability to be kind and understanding of those that you most disagree with. When we stop listening and we start yelling so loud that no one else can hear, we often are just like a car spinning its wheels and the smoke coming up. Nobody's going anywhere. We need to stop yelling, stop talking as much, start listening more. And quite frankly, if we just stay focused on what our job is, an elected official's job is to serve others, not themselves. If elected, I think I will focus on that in a way that no one's ever done before. I'm not red. I'm not blue. I always say this. I'm Delaware yellow. And Delaware needs someone who can listen to the far right, the far left, the centrist right, the centrist left, even all the independents, and come up with solutions to their problems, regardless of what their problems are. Toxicity and bipolar, what I'll call entertainment news, is really problematic for the state. Our state's smaller. We've never done this. We all know each other. We're less than a million people, or maybe right at now. We can do better. And I look forward to being able to help do that. If it's, you know, 4 years or eight, whatever they want me for, I'll do my best.
More specifically to the idea of transparency and accountability, mm-hmm. I think I heard you mention this, but I'm going to just confirm it. You would support an inspector general's office.
I do. I also support more openness in some of the campaign stuff that's going on. I'm not here to defend or scrutinize anyone. That's not my role. My role is to be a great governor and a great leader and work on policy, not politics. But what I will say is maybe certain things have been happening in all these areas where they're, you know, eating their own sort of in one party, whatever that's worth. But what I would like to see is better education, better guidelines, make sure everybody knows where the bumpers are so they don't go outside of those bumpers. I'm not suggesting in any of the environments being spoken about that that's not what happened. What I am suggesting is I don't think our bumpers are as clear as they should be. And the Inspector General's office would help us clarify that, give more openness. The two biggest things that concern me in this state right now is people's confidence and trust in government. They've lost both. They don't trust our government, and they don't have confidence that the government could do it right.
We've covered a lot of ground, but I do want to end by asking you if you think there's an issue that you feel is not getting the attention it deserves in this election cycle and how you would address it.
Well, it's simple for me. It's the balance. You know, you have 32 years we've had one-party rule in Delaware. 32 years since we had a Republican governor, which was Mike Castle, and before that, Pete DuPont. That's a long run. The irrelevancy of a party in any political process, in any level, county, state, U.S., is counterproductive regardless of which party has that power. If it's all Republicans, there's no discussion. There's no balance. If it's all Democrats, there's no discussion. There's no balance. Our country was built based on balance, and I look forward to bringing that here.
That's Republican candidate for Governor Mike Ramone. Our full conversation with him is available at DelawarePublic.org. Up next, our candidate conversations continue with another Republican in the governor's race, Jerry Price. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media. Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. We continue our candidate conversations with more from the GOP primary for governor, where we now turn to Jerry Price. Price is a retired New York City police officer who moved to Delaware 2 decades ago. He's making his first run for public office. A reminder, the interviews you hear here on The Green are edited for time. Full candidate conversations are online at DelawarePublic.org. So let's start with why you decided to run for governor this year. What was the thing that prompted you to throw your hat in the race?
Well, I've been doing this for 2 years running because I was sitting down with a couple of friends watching the news, and I don't see the other politicians doing the job the way I see fit.
So let's talk a little bit about being governor. Obviously, the governor is the state's chief executive.
Sure.
How would you describe the leadership style that you would bring to the office?
Well, it's about caring for the public, and that's my main concern. I was watching the newscast, and nobody wants to get these drugs off the street, the other politicians. That's my number one topic. I get calls all the time about family members dying these drugs, and it breaks my heart. I just can't accept it anymore. And we got to clean up the neighborhoods. People in Wilmington, some are afraid to walk to the community churches or stuff like that, even go to the supermarket. Drugs are out of hand, and they're all based on drugs. Well, most of the problems in this state.
So when you think about an agenda you would have, would you be proactive working with the General Assembly in terms of picking one or two agenda items that you would think were important for you?
Yeah, I get along with everybody. So I don't expect any difference when I hit the governorship.
Let's talk a little bit about the budget.
history tells us the next governor is likely to face at least one economic downturn during their term in office. How would you approach such a situation to balance the budget? What approach would you take to, say, if there's a $300 million deficit, how do you solve that problem?
Well, first of all, I look at the budget very carefully with a finance committee, and I already know how to knock off $3 million and probably another $10 million because of the way the money's stationed in the budget. And was also, we need to hire people. And with that hiring of people, there should be that money going towards that already to salaries. So this way we're not hit by surprise. Say we need another 180 cops. That money will already be in a budget, so it won't have to be taken out of a budget or transferred from another unit.
Let's talk about another issue that's become increasingly important throughout the state. That's affordable housing. Very complex issue. Where do you feel the state could be most effective at addressing that? Where should the state be focusing its attention to try to make housing more affordable across the board?
Yes, and I have the exact answers. First of all, these farmers, they've been here 40, 50 years, third, fourth generation. After that, there's money out there for them to sell their property. I want to negotiate a good deal for the property with our finance committee and the owner of the property and make that low-income housing for our first responders and veterans at first. Then I want to open up statewide. After World War II, they built the Levitt housing for our soldiers coming back. It's three-bedroom, two-bath on a concrete slab. Beautiful homes. I can't see why in Delaware we can't do the same for these people. We'll hold on to the mortgage. We'll get the interest rates. It'll be a low-cost mortgage. We're not looking to become rich off of that. We're looking to make people happy with housing. And this will also get people into the state for work because we need teachers, we need police officers, we need correction officers across the board. We need people. And that's a good incentive.
Let's talk a little bit about education, specifically education funding. That's also been a big issue recently.
Yes.
Lawsuit over education funding equity led to a report that was released last fall recommending the state spend an additional $600 million to $1.1 billion per year on education. Lawmakers in this past session created a public education funding commission to look at the funding structure in the coming months. But I'm interested in what you think about education funding. Does more need to be spent?
Well, actually, I would have to sit down with the finance committee. But when we talk about educational funding, we got to understand, first of all, not everything is bad. And we'll find ways, but they might not be getting everything. I can't promise everybody everything. That would just be a lie.
But just, I guess, in general, do you feel more probably needs to be spent at this point to improve the educational outcomes for students across the state?
Well, yes, I do. Basically by hiring more teachers, but I can't give them everything. Nobody can. That would just be an empty promise from another politician. I don't lie.
One of the things they've talked about is the funding formula itself, which is decades old. Is your sense perhaps that that's something to look at and say, like, can we find a different way to do it? Do we do away with the unit count and move to what other states do with weighted funding? Or, you know, I guess, do you feel there's an opportunity to change the way things are done in terms of funding to improve the way funding is used?
Yes. There's always a way to change stuff for the better. And with that, we got to sit down with the finance committee. Let's sit down. Let's get it down to the penny. And let's go through the finance committee and see what we could do this year.
Let's move on to healthcare. Cost and access also becoming kind of stubborn issues in this state. Delaware has one of the highest costs of care in the country.
Yes.
But still struggling, as you mentioned, I think, earlier, to attract and retain providers, specialists, doctors, nurses, and such. And that plays out in a lot of different areas. We know there's a lot of issues with the cost of coverage for state employees and retirees. There's also an aging population in the state that needs specific kind of care. Lawmakers did work on this a little bit this year. They worked on state retiree benefits, created a hospital cost review board. Are there some ideas that you have that would add to that, that you would prioritize to address healthcare costs and access?
Absolutely. For the older people, which is about a couple of years older than me, is the nursing home issues. A spouse puts the other spouse, husband, wife, one has to go to a nursing home. The fees are enormous. And it's possibly that they might lose everything they ever worked for in their life. It can't be handed down to their children. It can't be nothing. It's just going to go to these nursing homes. We have to sit down with most of the nursing homes, with the financial committee, and say, this is what we need. What do you need? How do we get to a middle ground so our people are protected?
How about on the access side? What do you feel you as governor could do to help bring more doctors, bring more specialists, bring more nurses into the state to deal with staffing issues?
Well, it's a good question. Some might be temporary, because we do have a lot of temporary nurses and doctors that come to this state. But our tax structure, our taxes on homes, it's great in this state. Mm-hmm. And that's a good incentive to get people here. And whatever else I have to do, I'll have to put a little bit more thought to it. But yes, I'll be able to do that.
Sure. Let's move over to the issue of climate in the states. The state has recently taken a variety of steps to address climate change. Climate Change Solutions Act, calling for the state to make zero net additions to greenhouse gases by 2050. The Delaware Advanced Clean Cars Program, where so-called EV mandates,
right,
calls for 82% of new cars and trucks sent to Delaware to be zero emission by 2032, and the state simultaneously taking steps to procure offshore wind. So I guess we'll start with, do you support those efforts I just mentioned?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So if not, what should Delaware be doing to address climate change and the potential impact in what is one of the lowest lying states in the country?
It is. But if you look over the studies of the years, the climate really hasn't changed that much. If you go back, we do have cold years, we do have warmer years. Now, this is going to not agree with a lot of people, but the climate hasn't changed all that much. And the windmills offshore, first of all, they're not cost effective with the repairs and everything, and plus the ecosystem at the sea.
So do you feel like there is any role for government to take in climate change? As you said, you're not sure how much the climate has changed, but the science seems to indicate that there is an issue, if not immediately, sometime in the future. Is there things that we should be doing now to offset any problems in the future?
Well, yes, but going all electric vehicles isn't the way. You can't force people in what to drive. And this ways, I mean, I got no problem with solar wind power on the land, because basically everything comes down to the money. I'm not going to write a blank check for anything. So, but yeah, there's definitely ways to look into that.
I want to ask you a little bit about just where we stand right now in terms of the political atmosphere, because it's a time that does seem to be a time when there is a stronger distrust of governments, calls for more transparency and accountability. What role do you feel the office of governor and you personally can play in giving Delawareans greater transparency and accountability?
Well, this is what I'm going to do when I win. I'm going to show my bank statements every year. And I think politicians should do that right now. For some reason, they get a lot more money in their bank account than they're paid. I'd like to see that. And I'm asking why. Also, when I'm governor, if somebody asks me to take a bribe, a handshake with money in it, well, I'm going to give them a 3-second plea bargain deal. Tell me who took it. And those politicians should be prosecuted for bribery and just destroying our state in that way. And I'm too honest. I can't take the money. That's why I don't promise everything at these rallies and everything else I go to. I'm not going to promise something I can't do. That's a big deal for me. I keep my promises.
One of the things that has been called for by folks both on the GOP side and the Democratic side is a new office, the Delaware Inspector General's office, to perhaps kind of fill in the gaps where maybe the state auditor doesn't cover or other areas don't cover. Would you be in favor of an office like that to look into any of these questions of, you know, whether
misconduct,
it be misconduct, corruption?
Yes, think we already have people that do that,
mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to branch out. I might extend it,
mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to make a separate group that's going to cost taxpayers a lot more money when it's already in place. You can look at campaign donations, how a couple of them have helped themselves through donations.
So you would just kind of strengthen let's say, like the Department of Elections' ability to look into campaign finance, the auditor to look into things, maybe the Department of Justice to look into things, rather than creating a new office.
No, I'm not going to create a new office for that. It's just we already have it there. We might have to build on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But to get a whole new agency, no, I'm not going to open up a whole new branch and pay into their pensions and everything else when it's not needed, when we could just do it with a handful of more people.
We've talked about a number of different things, but there are obviously some things that you also have focused on in your campaign. So I want to give you a chance here as we wrap things up to talk about any issues you feel aren't getting the attention they deserve in this election cycle and what you would do to address them if you were elected.
Okay. First of all, we're not hiring people properly. We have to reach out to these big cities, New York City, Pittsburgh, Philly, Baltimore, everywhere. Because the cops and teachers, they are not being paid right. They are not being treated right. We just can't put a flyer out in the newspaper. Mm. We have to bring these people in here. And the Attorney General, she has to start prosecuting these drug dealers. That is my biggest concern because of the phone calls I get. People have me in tears. I mean, it's terrible. And it affects everybody's family. It affected mine, too. And we have to get these drugs off the street.
That's Republican candidate for Governor Jerry Price. Our full conversation with him is available at DelawarePublic.org. And stay with us. We'll hear from another GOP candidate for governor, Bobby Williamson, next here on The Green on Delaware Public Media. Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. We complete our candidate conversations on the GOP side of the primary for governor with Bobby Williamson. Williamson, a self-described small businessman, is making his first run for political office. A reminder, the interviews here on The Green are edited for time. Full conversations are online at DelawarePublic.org. There's different types of governors. Some spend a lot of time just saying, like, here's my budget. That shows my priorities. Other governors tend to kind of bring initiatives and legislation that they present to the General Assembly. It sounds to me like you might be the latter, that the type of governor that's a little bit more active in engaging the General Assembly and what you would like to see done.
I plan on fine picking and tooth every little detail to find out where we can improve things for the people of Delaware. I am going to do every bit of the research and find out every expense that is not worthy enough to have to save the people of Delaware their tax, hard-earned tax dollars.
We see a lot of governors have some kind of signature initiative or legislation that they like to pursue. Do you have in your mind going in a potential signature agenda item or items that you feel like, if I want to get done one or two things as governor, these are the one or two things I would definitely want to get done?
Yes. I would say my main thing would be to restore Delaware back for the people and the citizens of Delaware, the long generation people that have lived here, raised families here, and has buried their dead here, that they are not feeling like they're being pushed out of their state. Also, I want to push initiatives for government oversight. Too much free money has been just wasted, giving it to all these different organizations. The unemployment, they got all kinds of things there. A lot of money's been misused. So we need some government oversight, and we need to restrict the government from doing oversight on the businesses like the hospitals and medical industry that they just passed all these different ordinances that they're going to try to regulate that. And we have to put an end to that.
Since you brought that up, I'm going to move to that because that's one of the things I did want to talk to you a little bit about, which is healthcare cost and access, which are very stubborn issues in the state, also dealing with an aging population. State legislature did make some moves this year. One was dealing with state retiree benefits. The other was the Hospital Cost Review Board that you just cited, mm-hmm. although Christiana Care currently suing over the legality of that board.
Good for them.
What would you advocate prioritizing to address cost and access to health care? Where do you think the government can have a role in making health care more affordable and easier to access?
I think the government needs to reach out to the people that have the intelligence and the connections to find better costs for prescriptions, find better ways of treating the illnesses that we need to deal with, including diabetes, which is very rapidly growing still, and we need to find solutions for that. There are the right people that have the right knowledge to deal with it, not just somebody that happened to be elected into an office. We need to let the professionals that deal with it and only deal with that situation.
I want to go back and talk a little bit about the budget. History tells us the next governor will face at least one economic downturn that leaves the state facing a serious shortfall. How would you approach such a situation where the revenues show that the state's short $300, $400, $500 million in a budget year? How would you approach finding a way to balance a budget given that type of crisis situation?
I'm sure that's going to be completely up to the particular situation mm-hmm. that is causing the downfall. But as in business, when something fails, you have to dissect it, figure out exactly where the problem or waste is, and then you work hard to strain it back to get things back to a neutral position. And then once you find a zero point, then you can start growth from that.
Would you look at it as a situation where you would need to do cuts or a combination of finding new revenues? You know, which approach would you take?
Well, I am going in day one if I have the opportunity to get a hold of that budget, and it's going to be cuts right from the get-go. Let's get a reserve by cutting and maybe even helping out with the amount of taxes that the people of Delaware are paying. And on the raised revenue part of it, I've heard that from many of my opponents, and it's like they are reaching out to the promised land of this marijuana influx of money that's coming in. And they think that's going to be the be-all answer to solve a lot of their problems through education. Every debate or forum that I've been to, I hear the opponents relying on this money from that, from raising from the marijuana sales. And it just makes me think back to how they said the same thing back in the gambling, to allow gambling in Delaware, and how that was going to save the state in certain financial difficulties. I don't believe we can go away and look for other revenue sources other than I would be very intent making deals with other companies, industries outside of Delaware to bring them back into Delaware to get the manufacturing going better in Delaware to give jobs back to our citizens.
Do you want to talk about affordable housing? Because that's been a significant issue in this campaign. How do you feel the state can be most effective in addressing the need for affordable housing? And I guess the question I've been asking a lot of candidates is this a big solution issue, or is this a creating a toolbox of smaller solutions type of issue?
That's a good question. I would think it would be more of a smaller issue. I would think we need to support the local towns and communities and give it back to the counties to help take in the needs of their community, because the needs of one community is going to be so vast different than the needs of a different community depending on the location. So each area needs its own special requirements to help out those that are needing affordable housing.
Let's talk a little bit about education. Education funding in particular. I mean, there was a report that was released last fall that was part of the education funding equity lawsuit that called for the state to spend an additional $600 million to $1.1 billion per year on education. Lawmakers created a public education funding commission to look at the education funding structure in the coming months. I'm curious where you stand going in, how education is funded in the state, how that could be improved, what approach you would take.
Well, my vision that I would like to see for the education of the students here in Delaware would be to have the allotment per child to where the parent and the child can work together to decide the future career of the child and what their goals are, and then have proper schools, whether it be charter schools, private schools, or public schools, or any trade school or specialty science school, whatever that is needed, your talent schools, to have them the opportunity to use the funding that's already allowed for them to go to their pathway of where they want to go with their education. And by doing that, that I believe that's going to make it more of a free enterprise system on schools, which will make some schools, especially the public schools, have to step up if they want to retain the students, and also to give incentives. And they give incentives to the schools would be to hire better teachers and let the teachers do more of what the teachers are good at, which is teaching, and stop restricting them down on all these bureaucratic things that distract them from actually educating our children. And to do that will also help raise the income for our teachers, because the teachers are well underpaid, and we have so many administrators with high dollar salaries that we need to maybe eliminate.
I want to talk a little bit about climate change, just because the state has taken a bunch of steps to address climate change recently. Climate Change Solutions Act calling for the state to make zero net additions of greenhouse gases to the atmosphere by 2050. The Advanced Clean Cars 2 program, or what many have called an EV mandate, calling for 82% of new cars and trucks sent to Delaware for sale be zero emission by 2032. And the state has this year started taking some steps toward procuring offshore wind energy. I'll first ask the base question. Do you support any of those efforts that are currently underway?
No.
With that in mind,
love to expand on that. Excuse me.
Well, I was going to say, what do you think Delaware should be doing in the realm of climate change?
Okay. Well, I know we love to put all these different wind power and the EV mandate and all that stuff, and I think we are just misleading ourselves still. I don't think that's the exact all catch for what is causing climate change. EV mandates on themselves, and I have really, this is what really has fired me up. If we go down that road of future, it will destroy so many jobs here in Delaware. Besides the fact it will take and put such a high dollar cost for a new vehicle that most Delawareans will not be able to afford such a car. It doesn't mean that we can't move forward with the EV. It just means that it shouldn't be forced upon. And I mean, when they started with the hybrids, I was all, hey, we're moving forward. It wasn't government forcing it down someone's throat. It wasn't the government using tax dollar money to push an agenda. And now we brought up the point of the offshore wind. I am so much wanting to keep the historic and the beauty of Delaware to where it is. I just think that is just going to be a black eye to have something like that sitting right there in the middle of our bay. And I am so much against the fact that Ocean City is not even going to allow the transmission lines from their wind endeavor to go through their state. They want to bring it up like we are lesser than Maryland, and that we can go ahead and have the transmission line go through our state parks and our protected marshes into the Indian River power system. I just think that that is another slap in the face.
I want to ask you that in a time when there seems to be stronger distrust of government and calls for more transparency and accountability, what role do you feel like the Office of Governor and you personally can play in giving Delawareans greater transparency and accountability?
I want to be able to communicate with every citizen in Delaware. I want to hear every thought they have. I want to be able to anything that comes up that is essential to the lifestyles of the regular working people and the regular retired people and the people's health here in Delaware, that they have a say. On school boards, we always are having these little voting opportunities to say yay or nay. Well, why can't we do that with all of government? Government is supposed to be ran by the people. And so I would like to have input of decisions by the people on these major issues that need to be decided.
One thing that has been floated by a number of people on both sides of the aisle is the idea of creating an inspector general in Delaware, someone to look into any questions of corruption or misuse of funds or things like that. Would you be in favor of an inspector general?
Not really as a one-person inspector general, but
as
an organization, organization of oversight on all things pertaining to the government and where our money goes. The taxpayer has a right to know where the money goes and to know that it's being used properly. So we definitely need that oversight type of a organization for the state government.
I want to wrap up by asking you if there's an issue you feel is not getting the attention it deserves in this election cycle and how you would address it if you were elected.
The main issue I think that is being ignored is that the regular hardworking people that have lived here all their lives in this nice state of Delaware have been ignored. We are making so many considerations for the influx of other state people retiring. And that goes back to me wanting to add in that we are not little California. We are the first state of Delaware, and we need to stand as the first state of Delaware and not let California's rules infiltrate our state and just change our way of living.
That's Republican candidate for Governor Bobby Williamson. Our full conversation with Williamson is available at DelawarePublic.org. And that's all we have time for on this edition of The Green. The interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. You can also sign up for our weekly newsletter there by clicking newsletters at the top of the page. And remember, The Green is also available via podcast at our website, as well as Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and the NPR and Delaware Public Media apps. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page or by emailing us at thegreen@DelawarePublic.org. Thanks to all those who helped make this week's show possible, our candidate conversation producers Ethan Grandin, Jeep Hanslin, and Robert Stice, as well as Delaware Public Media senior producer Kyle McKinnon. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Burns saying thanks for joining us this week. And we'll see you again this Tuesday for a special edition of The Green with more from our candidate conversations in the race for governor.